This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it is a podcast about your Stanley Cup champions. Thank you for joining us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, I hope you guys had a great Canada Day. Hope you had a great 4th of July, and if you're not in Canada or the U.S., hope your week's going all right. I really do. And hopefully you are not standing in line at Kettler still waiting for your picture with the Stanley Cup, but I wouldn't be surprised if you were still there. Joining me, as always, to talk all things Washington Capitals, and man, do we have some front office stuff to really talk about. It's more paperwork this episode. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm feeling all right. You know, I'm a little sunburnt from Saturday's Caps Fan Fest, but we will get into that later on. But a lot of stuff going on in Caps world. First off, how was your fourth? You have a good fourth?
It was good. It was good. I went and saw some fireworks, went over a friend's house for a barbecue. It was nice. Got to relax. Enjoy the fourth without worrying about the next NHL season when the Caps are going to lose again. That was nice to have.
You know, I had a good fourth as well. Mine was very low key. I didn't go anywhere this year.
Did you see some fireworks?
Well, there were multiple fireworks around my house. I felt as if I was a part of the annual purge. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, so that was that joke you were making.
There it is.
On
the Facebooks.
I think the Twitters and the Facebooks.
And on the Snapchats.
Well, they're on Snapchat, then it's got to be a big deal.
But there's a park behind my house. We had multiple fireworks there. There was an old pool that I used to work at that has now been filled in. There were fireworks there. And then some new neighbors across the street decided, hey, I got a great idea. I'm going to set off fireworks in the middle of the street where there's traffic and also close to where I park my car.
Brandon, yeah. I feel like that's not a good idea.
Not the greatest idea.
Speculating here. Okay, I want to say that I'm correct, but I feel like that's a bad idea.
Not a good idea, but that's how Baltimore does the 4th of July. Illegal fireworks.
Is that how you roll?
And I stay in the house and hope none of the trees catch on fire. But I had a good fourth. I had a movie marathon. Listen to this movie marathon. This is like the ultimate 4th of July movie marathon. I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Sandlot, Jaws, okay. Independence Day.
Okay, you kind of like started off a bit odd and then got normal.
Well, that movie, the climax takes place on the 4th of July. It's true.
At that point, you might as well watch Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Okay. Maybe I'll do that next year.
Because it's in the summer, I guess. I don't actually know what day it's supposed to be. No, wait. They're in school, though, so maybe it's not summer.
Yeah. So, shut up.
When does that movie take place? Because I feel like they mentioned summer at one point.
This is what happens when there's no Caps hockey.
Let's not worry about all the cap stuff we have to talk about. Let's talk about when Die Hard with a Vengeance actually took place. This is our new podcast, Talking Movies.
Not hosted by Chris Hardwick.
No. Moving on.
All right. Well, let's talk about some Caps news. Big shocker here. Did not see this coming. Todd Reirden has been named the new head coach of the Washington Capitals.
What?
Craziness.
Are you sure?
Against the grain. It's a radical move by Brian McClellan. No idea it was going to happen. But Coach Dan, how does it feel knowing this was coming?
I mean, that is just the most obvious thing I feel like we were expecting to happen this summer. Outside of Jay Beagle leaving the organization. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Let's not talk about that now.
Brandon needs a moment, guys. Not prepared to discuss it. You know what? It was a good move. I think the players are really excited about him taking over. I think a lot of the defensemen have credited him with not saving their career. That's a bit dramatic, but really getting them to a better place. And I think it was the right move. I think I'm excited to see what he's going to bring. I think it'll be a little different than Trotz. He's got more hair than Trotz. Not a lot.
Really? Does he?
More hair? Doesn't he? Isn't Trotz bald?
I just realized that.
He's got some hair.
Also, that Todd Reardon is not the guy that I thought he was watching the Caps coaching staff the last like 4 years.
You thought he was Lane Lambert?
A little bit.
Well, Lane Lambert, you're not going to make that mistake again because Lambert left to go to the Islanders, so he's hooking up back with his buddy Trotz again.
Now, was he a Caps guy, or did Trotz bring him in from Nashville?
No, I think I want to say Trotz brought him in from Nashville. Hang on, let me double check this.
Because, if Trotz is coming in here, raiding our coaching staff, and then taking them away, not cool, man. But if they've been boys for a while, all right, I get it.
He was the assistant coach in Nashville with Trotz, and then followed him over. Blaine Forsyth, Scott Murray, the team's goaltending coach, they'll be back next season. Brett Leonard will be back, and Ohashi, who I don't actually know who that is, but he'll be back.
And so Mitch Corin is still a big question mark,
Mitch Corin is a big question mark. So he had stepped away from the team a little bit less, or stepped back, I should say, not away from the team. He stepped back and was the Caps director of goaltending. So he did a little bit more of like the managerial stuff than actually like on the ice working with the goalies. That's more, I just said the guy's name, Scott Murray. That's more him this past season. So if they lose Mitch Corn, it's not like the end of the world, but I'd hate to lose a guy who clearly has done a lot of good for this team.
Do you ever think that we'll see Ole Kolzig in a coaching role with the big leagues? Because I know he's been a part of the organization. He spends a lot of time in South Carolina and Hershey, kind of grooming the young up-and-comers. But do you think he'll ever graduate to being an NHL goalie coach?
I mean, yeah, I guess, maybe. I think if he spends more time working with if Mitch Corn comes back and he spends more time working directly with him, I think there's a good opportunity there. But maybe he likes his sort of not scouting, but working with some of the younger goalies and having that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I know Ole Kolzig, he is like a big favorite around here. So
a little bit. When's his jersey getting retired? It's a big argument for a while. I like how we had this whole plan of what to talk about. And we've already gone off track. They had this whole thing about how the Caps are not allowed. Not that they're allowed to tell them what they can and cannot do, but the Caps are not allowed to have any more numbers retired until they win the cup. So now they've won the cup. So I'm expecting Kolzig and Bondra to have their numbers in the rafters.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Now going back, talking about Todd Reardon here, what kind of advantage does it have? I mean, it's got to be a huge advantage to be with this organization for a couple years, kind of see how Barry Trotz coached, what worked, what didn't, and kind of putting your own spin on things. Like, what kind of advantage the fact that Todd Reardon's staying here, knows the players, knows the coaching staff, knows what he wants to improve on, what he wants to change, what worked, what didn't. I mean, that's a huge coup for him, right?
Yeah. It's always kind of a tough spot coming into a team that was done, that did quite well, and I have to imagine it's a bit, I don't want to say intimidating, but it's a bit difficult, for lack of a better term, to be able to come and just sort of run the show from them. But because he was there as long as he was, and because he has the respect of all the players, I don't think it's going to be a dramatic change or a dramatic, knock on wood, that it's going to be some sort of dramatic change or dramatic difference for the team next season. He already knows a lot of the players. I have to imagine the system will stay relatively close to the same. So I'm not overly concerned at the moment.
What do you think the biggest...
Of course, that's going to be famous last words.
Right. What do you think the biggest thing he's going to change about this team from the way Barry Trotz ran it? What do you think he's coming in and going, I know I want to do this differently? Because you got to think about it. He may not agree with what Barry Trotz was doing at certain aspects, but in the last season, Barry Trotz won a Stanley Cup with this team. So it's kind of like, do you mess with success?
No, because you always got to make little tweaks here and there because the league changes, the styles change somewhat every year. There's always little rule changes. And other teams change what they're doing. And so other teams are getting better, some teams not as much, for the Islanders. And then if your other teams, you're definitely improving. If you look at someone like right now, there's a strong rumor that Tampa Bay may be getting Erik Karlsson from Ottawa.
You're looking at
Tampa being significantly better. You're looking at a team like the Rangers were probably going to make a nice splash.
Could you imagine a power play with Ovi and Erik Karlsson on the same line?
I cannot, because there's no way they can afford both of those guys.
I know they can't, but still, those two working together, man.
It'd be nice. It's not going to happen because it'll be too expensive.
Yeah, I get it, but I'm just saying, it'd be really nice.
I just want it to happen.
Todd Reardon, though, I mean, it's a safe call for them. They've been grooming him. I mean, this is not a shock to anyone. I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see what he brings to the table. I like what he did with the defense. You know, he's the reason why Michael Kepney's game got as good as it did so quickly. I'm intrigued to see how he treats the offense as the head coach, because we talked about it last week with Ryan. Todd Reardon is a very defensive-minded coach. He works at the defense. He knows the defense very well. What is he going to do with a big-time goal scorer like Alex Ovechkin or Kuznetsov or TJ Oshie? What is he going to change about their game? Is he going to do anything drastic? I don't know. By the time training camp comes, I'm going to be very intrigued to see what he does with our offense.
Yeah, I think that's the more interesting, because he's focused mostly on, I feel like he's the defensive coach all season. So, you know, I feel like it's going to be a little interesting to see how he handles the offense. But at some point, it's kind of like, guys, do the same thing you've been doing. And I imagine right. He has some experience there. So I'm not overly concerned. I think, you know, if they went with someone from the outside, even though I was sort of campaigning for that at one point, if they went with someone from the outside, it'd be a bit different, because they may want to come in and play a different system. But the fact that you just won the cup and it's going to be most of the same players, at least as of right now, and most similar coaching staff, I don't imagine it's going to be a dramatic difference.
Now, you said it's going to be mostly the same team, but there are going to be some changes. Free agency has begun. It started on Canada Day, July 1, and one of the most important, biggest pieces of the puzzle for the Capitals went to Vancouver.
Settle down.
Jay Beagle.
Oh, wait. I need to go look if I can get his t-shirt, his jersey, as you like to call it.
I think I still have mine.
I'm getting a thing. Yeah. So Jay, sorry, I interrupted you, for a funny comment. I need 60% off NHL.com right now, guys, go on there. Of course you're listening to this tomorrow, so it's probably over. Sorry. Anyways. I clicked the wrong thing. I want to get a Jay Beagle Vancouver Canucks. Christ. T-shirt. And I will wear it with pride.
Jay Beagle has decided, I mean, he hasn't decided, he was a free agent. Vancouver picked him up, gave him a nice hefty paycheck.
Yeah, he did.
Signed him for 4 years, I believe. This was a guy that, for all intents and purposes, was never supposed to be an NHLer. He was never supposed to be a Stanley Cup champion. Jay Beagle... Man, it's I don't even know.
I still can't get his name on the back of this freaking thing.
Give it time. He's new. They probably don't even have given him a number yet.
Uh-huh. I looked the other day.
Oh, wow.
Wait, did I?
But Jay Beagle, he's from Calgary. He tried out for the Calgary Hitmen, and they did not sign him. He kind of went on his own.
Shove that in their face.
Yeah. He went to the ECHL, won a Kelly Cup. I believe with Iowa, if I'm not mistaken. You know, the Capitals had a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see Jay Beagle because of the schedule and the way it worked out. And they saw him when he played up against a Vegas team. They liked him. They brought him in, went to training camp, made it to the AHL, won a Calder Cup. And besides Nick Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin, he's been the most consistent face in Washington on this team from the player side. So, I mean, that's quite a tenure to be in Washington from 2008 until 2018. I mean, that is definitely something to be proud of. He's a guy who the team has constantly called on when somebody gets hurt to move up. I mean, he was a top line guy for a couple games. You hated it, but I knew that he could do it. he was a fourth line guy.
I don't even remember that.
He was, I mean, remember in the Dale Hunter era where the dude broke his ankle?
I prefer not to.
And he was up against the Rangers in the playoffs, and he still put his skates on, still went out there, and they're like, Jay, your ankle's broken. You can't skate.
But he goes, no, it's not.
dude was like, I can do it, man. Let me go. The heart this kid has, I will never, ever be as passionate about something as Jay Beagle is for hockey. I am fully okay admitting that. Jay Beagle is a fantastic talent. The Capitals are going to sorely miss him. He is a face-off king. I don't think anyone really realizes how much of an impact this guy is, or such how big of a hole this guy is leaving. He was a leader in the locker room. He was a leader on the ice. I'm thoroughly going to miss Jay Beagle. He was one of the nicest guys ever. No one ever has anything bad to say about Jay Beagle. He's a fantastic person.
I have something bad to say about Jay Beagle, Brandon.
But he's going to go make some big money. What are you going to say about him?
He still uses a flip phone.
No, he had to get rid of that.
Oh, did he?
Flippy died.
Someone made a joke about the flip phone. People were saying nice things on Twitter when he was leaving, and they're like, he's probably can't see this because he still has a flip phone. But I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I never wanted Beagle to leave. I know I was saying he was leaving from the beginning of the offseason, and it was just kind of like a done deal. And it was the reality of the money. Now, I thought it was funny the Caps came out and said that, like, they were up front. Beagle came out and said that McClellan and the Caps were up front with him from the beginning, saying, like, we just don't have the money to re-sign you. Which, first of all, is BS. Like, they should not have paid it. He's getting – this sounds mean, but he's getting overpaid by Vancouver. He's not worth $3 million a year in terms of hockey. As a human being, yes, of course. But in hockey, he's not worth $3 million a year. So the fact that Vancouver gave him however many years – 4 years? I think 4 years, $3 million,
yeah,
is too much, right? So the Caps currently have – just over $8 million in cap space. And you have to imagine probably about half of that's going to go to Wilson. And then maybe someone under $1 million is going to go to Bowie. So that leaves you about $2 million left for Orpik or a veteran defenseman if you want to bring one in. They had money for Beagle. I just don't see it. I mean, they would have used like the Nick Dowd money and then something else to bring him back. But I just didn't see it happening. I think it's time to move on to another guy. He was one of the old guys on the roster. It was him and Ovechkin. Actually, Ovechkin's the oldest guy on the roster right now.
Which is crazy to think about.
It's weird. So at 32. So Beagle, I think, is also 32. I think he was born a year after me. Shut up. So you're looking at – you're a year younger than me. Calm down. So you're looking at it being like, yes, it would have been great to have Beagle come back, but he just cost too much money. It's time to look at guys like Travis Boyd, like Chandler Stephenson. The word is from Isabel Crescuti in the Washington Post that the Caps like him more as a winger. And you look at a couple other guys from the minors, and you're like, look, it's your turn to try and show that you should be the guy taking his spot. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him bringing in a young guy for the fourth line center spot. But it's time to move on. This is what happened. You go back and you look at guys like Matt Hendricks and Matt Bradley to some extent. You know, the Caps have had these kind of like guys that are fan, maybe not Steckel as much, but like are fan favorites. And then you move on from them because that's just what you do. It's time to do that, to move on to someone else. And that's just the reality of the situation.
If I'm not mistaken, Matt Hendricks is reunited with Bruce Boudreau in Minnesota.
That's correct. He had him and Eric Fair.
And is Daniel Winnick still there?
I think he's a free agent. And let me double check, but I don't think anyone has signed him.
That'd be really funny. Three Capitals are back with Bruce. He's like, oh, hey, guys, what's up?
I don't think so, but oddly enough. I was going to make a joke. And there it is. Herschel from The Walking Dead has signed a 2-year deal with the Buffalo Sabres. There's a hockey player named Scott Wilson. That's the name of the actor who played.
Oh, okay.
Get it? Remember that time when we talked about Walking Dead? See, I brought it all back around. Anyways, it's great to have Beagle. I thought he was a great player for this team. Really enjoyed having him around. It was nice knowing you. Best of luck in Vancouver. It's an amazing city. I've been there once, and I'd like to go back because it was a lot of fun.
He's closer to home, really, because, I mean, he's going to be in Western
Canada. Yeah, it's a great fit for him, and I feel like he's one of those guys. My sister keeps wanting to get a new jersey because her only – I want to say her only Caps jersey she has is an Alexander Semin one.
Mm-hmm.
And she, it's a little, it's old, you know, it's the part where like the name, the lettering and the number started to get a bit pink because, you know, if you wash it or whatever else. So it's time to move on. And she's looking at, you know, TJ Oshie, but there's some players you can wear again. Like a friend of mine has a Matt Briley jersey. You can wear that to a Caps game and not feel like an idiot. You wear an Alexander Semin one, it's a little bit of a...
There's a great-looking jersey I know she can pick up.
If you talk about the freaking one from Annapolis, I'm going to drive to Baltimore and stab you in the leg. I'm going to set off a firework outside your house. You know, there's some guys you can wear. You can wear, like, a Hendricks or a...
Sure.
You can be the only one. A Bradley. You can always go back and wear some of the greats, like Kolzig and Bondra. I feel like a Marcus Johansson you could get away with. But... Beagle's another one where I feel like
I don't know about Marcus Johansson.
I think you could wear a jersey or a t-shirt of Marcus Johansson. People would be like, all right, cool. Because it wasn't like he left on his own. He was like, screw, like it's not like a Jager where you're like, what is wrong with you? Why are you wearing it? Like it wasn't Johansson's plan. I'm sure he would have preferred to stay. The reality is that didn't happen. So I feel like you go and you have a Jay Beagle shirt. I think my wife has one. I have a Matt Hendricks one. Or I have a Jeff Halpern shirt I actually found on eBay. I feel like you can wear that with pride.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, got the Beagle's name on it. Why not? So this is a little off topic, but, I don't know. I don't think we talked about it, last week. I may be mistaken, but, with Brooks Orpik potentially gone, who gets the A now?
Oh, we didn't talk. Oh, this would be, Ryan would love to talk about this. I'm sure. Well, it's what Backstrom. I'm going to guess Carlson, Niskanen, or Bowie. No, or Kuznetsov, maybe?
I'm saying Willie Baby.
No.
I really do. I think Tom Wilson is...
I think it's likely Carlson. Who wore it when like Backstrom was out hurt? I feel like it was Carlson or Oshie.
I think it was Oshie.
I think it's going to be either Carlson, Oshie, or Niskanen.
I see Wilson. I think they're securing Wilson for a nice long contract. I think that's we'll talk about it in a little bit. He did not file for arbitration. I think they're kind of working out two sides of you know, maybe like a 6 to 8 year deal. And I think Tom Wilson's going to get the A.
I think you're delusional.
I don't know, man.
That's just me.
They've been calling him a leader in the locker room during the playoff run.
Why? Because he went and tried to hurt people.
I don't know. I just do it to tick off Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah, I guess.
You hate this guy. We're giving him the alternate captain letter.
Yeah, take that. No, I don't think this. Yeah. Now, I don't know. I'm going with. I'll go with Oshie.
All right. So since we were talking about free agency, the Capitals, besides letting Jay Beagle go, did make a couple moves, re-signed a couple minor league players, brought in some new people. What's some of the names that, will be wearing the Caps red coming up?
Well, first was the big one. We didn't break the news, but we were talking about it on the show last week that Michael Kempney was coming back. Caps officially re-signed him to a 4-year, $10 million deal. I'm actually really happy with this one. It's only 4 years. Kempney's 27, so it'll wrap up when he's 31.
Good.
It's $2.5 million a year, so that's not bad at all in terms of cap hit. I think this is a great move, especially since he was pairing with John Carlson on the top pair.
And he's sticking around.
Defensively. So we got Carlson's back, Kempney's back, Niskanen's back, Orlov's back, so your top four defensemen are back. And then there's Christian Juice, number five. He's got one more year? He's got one more year on his entry-level deal before you got to re-sign him next season, or next offseason, I should say. So it's good. That's nice. That was the big one. After him, they actually went out and signed Nick Dowd, who did he play with? He played with the Canucks last season, I believe, or Kings and the Canucks. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, he's a guy that's going to fight, hopefully not literally, with Travis Boyd for that center spot on the fourth line next season. I think it's like him. It's Boyd and Dowd really are the two guys that you feel like are going to be fighting for ice time as that fourth line center, probably between, I would say, Smith Pelly and not Stevenson, maybe Walker or Connolly or something along those lines.
Yeah, because Jay Beagle's spot that's now empty, that's really the only spot that is up for grabs going into training camp.
On the forward lines, yeah, I would say so. It's really the only one. I mean, you can always have a guy like Smith-Pelly or Walker or – I mean, that's probably it – that will – or Connolly that suddenly drop off.
Sure.
But you really do feel like your 11 of your 12 forward spots are pretty much solidified. And the question mark is who's going to be in that, you know, fourth line center spot. So like going into the into training camp, that's one of like the question marks for training camp is who is going to solidify that spot. Is it going to be Dowd? Is it going to be Boyd? Is it going to be someone we haven't even talked about yet that may come in and lay claim to it? Is there another guy that may come in and force them to keep him on the roster for next, or at least the start of the season, because he's playing better than the other guys? Is it Garrett Pylon who's a center who may come in and be like, I'm that guy, or Brian Pinho, or who else is a center? Maximilian Kammerer, just because I think he has a cool name.
Kammerer.
Like, is it going to be one of those guys? Kammerer. Who's going to be, I mean, I feel like the advertising or like the video after he scores a goal just writes itself. you know, is it one of those guys that's going to come in and sort of take that spot? So I definitely think this is, it's a nice offseason to have. I think that's a good sort of problem for Todd Reirden to have to deal with in terms of figuring out who his fourth line center is, because he's got a couple of options. We talked about Travis Boyd. He is back on a 2-year deal with an $800,000 cap hit, so that is definitely a good deal for the Caps, considering once they sign Wilson, and I'm guessing a veteran defenseman, they're not going to have a ton of cap space left. They still have to re-sign Madison Bowie. As well, they re-signed Riley Barber to a 1-year deal with a cap hit, reported total of $650,000. I think he has an outside shot of making the team.
Yeah, do you think he's more of a guy to call up when somebody gets injured?
I mean, we'll see how he does in training camp. I have to imagine he'll be invited. It looks like last year with the Bears, he scored 20 goals and got 38 points.
That's not terrible.
I feel like he has an outside shot of making the roster on the wings, and maybe he jumps ahead of, I don't think it'll be Smith-Pelly, but maybe he jumps ahead of Connolly, or he jumps ahead of someone on that fourth line to get some minutes in DC. I think that's definitely a possibility. I don't say it was a guarantee. I think he's definitely on the outside looking in. He's going to have a hell of a training camp if he's really going to have a shot at making this roster.
Right.
And then they went out and they signed a couple of depth centers. I feel like these guys are signed for Hershey, an opportunity for them to do a bit better, the Bears, because they didn't have a great last season, missing the playoffs. They signed centers Michael Scarbosa and Jason Megna in the picture on Russian Machine. I'm not sure which one's which. I'm not really sure it matters. Both are 1-year, two-way contracts. I feel like these are guys that are going to – it looks like Megna played one game last year for Vancouver.
One?
One whole game. So wow. Scarbosa played for Florida, I guess. I don't see either one of these guys necessarily playing for the Caps, but I suppose anything's possible depending – on how their season is going, and maybe if they do really well in Hershey and the Caps want to call one of them up for a night, maybe that happens. But no, my guess is those guys definitely end up in the minors. I do see Wilson coming back. I think the lineup is going to be relatively similar to what we saw last season, and I'm just curious who's going to end up as that sort of on the fourth line in that center spot. That's the big one right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question. Like I said, Jay Beagle, he leaves a giant hole on that line and in that on that team. So, I mean
the faceoffs alone.
Yeah.
I mean, Beagle wasn't exactly known for his offensive talent. So it's really like when they are up late in the game, who's that guy they're going to call on to win that defensive zone faceoff? I have to imagine right now it's Lars Eller, if not Nick Backstrom. So it'll be interesting to see who they decide to go with should Dowd and Boyd not be so great in the center spot.
I mean, they've had Travis Boyd up and down for a couple years now. So
it's his spot to lose at first. That would be my guess. It's like he would be the guy – but they're like, we want you to win this. Don't screw it up. And Dowd ends up being one of the healthy scratches most nights. That would be my immediate assumption as to what they're going to do.
And, you know, we'll see. I kind of agree with you there, but they've got a what, month and a half to figure that out, and hopefully training camp will help solidify that spot. But yeah, I mean, the Caps really have not done a lot in free agency the last couple years. I didn't really expect them to do too much. And when you do have a team winning a Stanley Cup, you do kind of want to keep as much of that team together as you can. Now, this was the end. We're recording this on July 5th. July 5th is the last time that players can file for arbitration against teams. And the Capitals only had one guy do it, and it wasn't Tom Wilson. It was, of all people, Liam O'Brien, who I did not expect to bring up in the middle of July.
They're probably like, what?
That guy? Really? Okay.
All right, here's $20.
But so what? They still have Madison Bowie out there. That he's a restricted free agent. But what does it mean for Tom Wilson to not be not filing arbitration? I mean, that's a sign that they probably both sides are pretty close, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say I have to imagine both sides have expressed, both Tom Wilson, his agent, and the Caps have expressed that they want to get a long term deal going. So I have to imagine that if he didn't file for arbitration, that they're close to something. You know, maybe it's they've got the number down, it's the years that they're not quite sure about. So I have to imagine they're getting real close.
And knowing this podcast, they will sign a deal tomorrow on July 6th.
I know. I'm going to be so – God damn it. Why do you guys wait until we're done? I mean, we're even recording a day later than we normally do, and they're still going to do it. They're sitting there like whoever runs the Caps Twitter is like guy who decides when they're breaking news probably saw it and was like, hold up. They haven't recorded yet. Let's wait to announce it. Let's not rush to get something done just yet.
And Liam O'Brien filing for arbitration. I mean, that's a little weird, isn't it?
I don't know. Like, how much did he make last season? Hold on. Let's find out. Because I can't. He's 23. He had a cap hit of 621 and change. Oh, I'm sorry. Cap hit is 650. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they move, if like he got something in arbitration and they're like, no, thanks, we're good.
He came up for a game or two this season. So, I mean, he's had a little bit of NHL time this year, but
I wouldn't be surprised if he moved on to another team.
I mean, we'll see.
I'm not saying I necessarily want him to. I just don't think he'll come back.
Just a little odd for him to do that, but okay.
It was kind of a random name where you're like, look at all these guys, and you're like, wait, what?
Right.
Really?
He's probably not like the highest priority of restricted free agents that they really got to sign, because like I said, Madison Bowie's out there, Tom Wilson's out there, and is there any more, or is it just those two?
I just could... Coast close cap friendly. Hold on, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Bowie, Wilson, and for the Caps. Wilson, Bowie, O'Brien. Yeah, it's they got a bunch next season. Although I feel like a couple of those will get taken care of during the season. I mean, next season they have to worry about Burakovsky in terms of restricted free agents. Burakovsky, Vrana, Stevenson, Walker, Juice, Gersick. And a bunch of other kids in the minors.
Gersick, who's going to be sharing his day with the cup with TJ.
Yeah, I saw that was kind of cool. I thought that was nice.
Kid, you don't get a full day yet.
Yeah, settle down, buddy. Who do you think you are? It's fine. If the one guy that they're going to have trouble with is Liam O'Brien, I know you like him, but, like, see ya.
I'm not that big of a fan.
I know you're crying. Is him and Beagle.
Beagles is my boy.
I think O'Brien was a little bit more your boy, if I'm being fair.
What else we got to talk about on this show?
Caps actually went out and signed defenseman Martin Fehervari, who I just like his name again because it sounds like something from Game of Thrones. I feel like you would be hearing about a guy from the north named Martin Fehervari. He was drafted in the second round just, what was it, like a week ago? It feels like he was just drafted 6 feet, 6 foot two, currently weighs about 194 pounds. We'll see. I find that interesting that they signed him to a deal already.
They got plans.
Apparently he is expected to report to, is it HV71 for the 2018-19 season. So I'm guessing that is, I'm going to say over in Sweden. So yeah, I would, you know, I don't think this is a kid who's coming over necessarily right away, but that's pretty cool. They already signed him to a deal.
I wish I would have seen him, but I did not get to see him at the scrimmage.
Was it time, Brandon? I mean, we have some like NHL stuff to talk about, and just we can go over a couple of the big moves that have happened recently. But
yeah, let's do that.
Let's
first.
Let you go on your what? Oh, you want to do the rant last?
I think so. I think it's best.
Okay. Well, it felt like a lot of the big deals happened before the free agency actually started.
Right.
I mean, you had Riley Sheehan went back to the Penguins. I'm just kind of scrolling through. Drew Doughty signed an 8-year deal worth a total of $88 million. So he's got an $11 million cap hit. Logan Couture signed 8 years, $64 million. He actually got the same deal as John Carlson, oddly enough. Ryan Reeves ended up staying. He was a big one that people were talking about. He ended up staying with Vegas. Mike Green, former Capital. Another one that I feel like you can wear his shirt and his jersey, and it's not a big deal.
I love that one.
Thanks. I'm glad. Now that we know that Brandon allows it, guys, it's okay. Green is staying with Detroit for 2 years with a cap hit of 5.375. Thomas Hickey with the Islanders. 4 years, $2.5 million cap hit. Hendricks, like we talked about, going to Minnesota, reuniting. Jack Johnson going from Columbus to Pittsburgh. 5 years, $3.25 million a year. A Pens fan I know that actually one of my employees, he's not happy. Paul Stastny signed a 3-year, $19.5 million. So that's $6.5 million in cap it with Vegas. So they looks like they're getting a bit better. Antoine Roussel going to Vancouver. 4 years, $3 million cap hit. Thomas Vanek went back to Detroit. A 1-year, $3 million cap hit. Thomas Bocanic, Montreal, 1 year, $2.25 million cap hit. Why is Hickey on here twice? That's weird. Good job, TSN. David Perron went to back to St. Louis, I want to say. 4 years, $4 million cap hit. Carter Hutton, the Sabres, who let Robin Lehner go. He was, I believe, scheduled to be a restricted free agent. They actually let him go for nothing. They didn't offer him anything. They signed Carter Hutton 3 years with a $2.75 million cap hit. Anton Khudobin went to Dallas, $2.5 million cap hit for 2 years. We talked about Jay Beagle, 4 years, $3 million cap hit. James Van Riemsdyk left Toronto going back to Philly. I feel like I read a story saying that Van Riemsdyk has only ever actually signed with the Flyers. You know, I think he's played for a couple of different teams. He's only ever actually signed contracts with the Flyers. 5 years with a $7 million cap hit.
What?
Yeah. Cam Ward went to Chicago, 1 year, $3 million cap hit. Jonathan Bernier went to Detroit, 3 years, $3 million cap hit. Your boy Yaroslav Halak going to Boston, 2 years, $2.75 million cap hit.
That's a bit of a scary tandem in Boston now.
Halak's getting older. Who else? Matthew Pekka, who I still seems like every time I read that, I think it's Michael Pekka. That's an old hockey joke. He signed with Montreal. It's not really a big deal. I just thought it was funny. Kunitz, 1 year, $1 million cap hit with Chicago. That I didn't really expect. Grabner is 3 years, $3.35 million a year with Phoenix. Peter Mrazek went to Carolina, 1 year, $1.5 million. There's a lot of guys. Scott Wilson, Herschel, as we talked about. He went to Buffalo. Matt Cullen went Pittsburgh. Not a big deal. Who else do we have? Eric Fair, we talked about going to Minnesota, reuniting with Boudreau for $1 million. It's nice for Boudreau to have these guys he recognizes. Leo Komarov signed with the Islanders, 4 years, a $3 million cap hit. Vancouver brought back Sven. I like his name. Sven Barteshi, 3 years, $3.367 million cap hit. That's a weird number. Luke Shen signed with Anaheim. Roman Pollock went to Dallas. And then the big one, I think the biggest one this offseason, was John Tavares going to Toronto. 7 years, $77 million total, $11 million cap hit. Ooh. They are deep down the middle of that ice. with him, Austin Matthews,
yeah,
Nazem Kadri. I mean, that Toronto is going to be a much better team next season. You got James Neal going to Calgary, 5 years, $5.75 million cap hit. Kunackle, the douche from Pittsburgh, went to the Islanders. Joe Thornton re-signed for 1 year, $5 million with San Jose. Thomas Hertl, 4 years, $5.625 million deal with San Jose. Robin Lehner, formerly of Buffalo, actually ended up going to the Islanders for 1 year, $1.5 million. But you got to look at the Islanders, and Tross is like, God damn it. Because I thought I had Tavares. Now I'm in a bit of trouble. Calvin DeHaan, I believe he also left the Islanders, went to Carolina. 4 years, $4.55 million a year. I feel like there's another couple. Athanasiou stayed with Detroit 2 years, $3 million. And Trevor Van Riemsdyk staying with Carolina 2 years, $2.3 million. Why do I have the free agency thing? Oh, that's the Caps one. And then a couple of big trades that happened. I believe we talked about before Connor Sheary and Matt Hunnemann going from Pittsburgh to Buffalo. What was the other big one? Oh, the Blues getting Ryan O'Reilly from Buffalo for Vladimir Sobotka, Patrick Berglund, Tage Thompson. That's not a typo. His first name is Tage.
That's a great
name. First round pick. It's an interesting name.
Yeah.
First round pick in 2019 and a second round pick in 2021. And then the Islanders got Matt Martin from Toronto for goalie Eamon McCammond, which is an interesting name.
Mm.
Also, the Jets got Simon Bourque from Montreal for Joel Armia, Steve Mason, a seventh round pick in 2019, and a fourth round pick in 2020. Those are some of the big moves going on around the NHL. Brandon!
Were they some of the big moves or all of the moves?
No, there was a lot of other moves, but there were smaller name players.
That was quite the list, man.
It's a lot, man. A lot of things going on. Brandon?
Yeah.
You have the floor.
All right.
If anyone has sensitive ears, you may want to turn your volume down.
I will do my best to keep this family friendly. So,
I don't think you've ever actually cursed on this show.
I try.
I mean, I have. I think I've done it already a couple of times tonight.
I usually bleep you, but I try to keep it clean.
Do you really?
Yeah, I bleeped you before.
I've only once dropped an F-bomb, and I was quoting someone else. I was quoting someone from the NHL, but I don't remember who. But I've only once dropped an F-bomb. I've never actually said it on my own. I've gotten close with a couple of things. But like Twitter, I try and like refrain or put the little stars.
Sure.
All right, go ahead. Do your thing.
All right, so...
Get them, Brandon.
Like 8,000 other Caps fans, on Saturday, I went to the Capitals Fan Fest at Kettler in Arlington, Virginia. Why did I go there? Well, I was told that there would be pictures with the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley. One of the main reasons I didn't go to the parade was because I'm like, there's going to be so many people there. There's no reason for me to go. I'm not going to see anything. I'm not going to get close to anything. Why would I go if I can just watch it on TV anyway? So when I saw this opportunity for Caps Fan Fest, which is something I actually really enjoyed the last couple of years until they moved it to a Wednesday for no reason, probably to avoid things just like this, to be honest, I was like, I really did enjoy Fan Fest. I would meet up with Coach Dan. We would do a little live show. It was a good way to watch the rookies because at that point, you know, you were kind of hungry for hockey again because you hadn't seen them in so long. But you get to check out some of that. And usually there was some really cheap Cap stuff. I'd do some Christmas shopping, get some God Kids, some jerseys, that type of deal. Well, the Fan Fest started at 10 o'clock on Saturday. I knew it was going to be crowded, so I decided I left my house in Baltimore at 6:30 in the morning on a weekend, on a Saturday, after working my normal, you know, 9-to-6 job that I have every day, plus doing a podcast and all the other fun things. I'm fostering a dog right now as well. So I'm like, but this is Lord Stanley. I want to go see him. I want to say I was able to kiss the cup. I've seen Lord Stanley before, or at least one of the replicas, and I didn't touch it. I want to touch it now because the Caps won. So we get there. There was a lot of traffic on 895 up in Baltimore. I don't know what was going on, but a lot of traffic there. We get there.
Where is 895? Sorry for interrupting, but where is that?
895, it's right next to 95 in Baltimore. It kind of is like a easier way to get to BWI, pretty much. Or UMBC.
Okay. I don't really go on that side of Baltimore very often. Good to know. Sorry. Continue. Brandon, I apologize. Please continue.
So I get there, and I get my ticket. I go into Kettler, which, by the way, only got lost three times getting to Kettler.
Hey!
I have never driven to Kettler and gotten there in one shot. I don't know, one road, man. I don't know what it is, but I, for some reason, the GPS always takes me in different directions. Sometimes it's like 495 and you go to like the north of DC. Other
GPS
times
is just screwing with you.
They take you to the south and I'm like, no, I know it's all right here. Sometimes you just drive right through DC. I get lost every single time. DC can. This is why I don't drive in DC at all. I will drive to Silver Spring and take the metro and go everywhere else. DC just confuses me, and I admit that, and I know that. But Lord Stanley, I wanted to see him. Now, I should also preface this: I actually did get a picture with Lord Stanley at the end, so I Tarantino'd it for you. Happy ending. So that was that part. But anyway, so I get to Kettler, get the ticket. There's a lot of construction going on. That mall is gone, by the way. The mall that the ice rink sits on is gone.
The one where I bought one of the Assassin's Creed games?
Gone. It does not exist anymore.
That was crowded when I was there many years. Wow, right. That was a
while. It is 2018. The fact that there are any malls is just shocking.
Dude, Montgomery Mall in Bethesda does quite well.
I can't tell you the last time I stepped foot in a mall, but that's a whole nother story.
I can. I went to the Avengers.
That was to a movie theater.
I went to the movie theater but the movie theater's in the mall.
Yeah, but you didn't go to shop at the mall.
Well, you didn't specify I had to be shopping, Brandon.
So we get there, I said, all right, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to park on level 6. I'm going to take the elevator up to level 8 because everybody else is going to be parking. 8 is closed. Everybody's going to try to park on 7. So I get to 8. Elevator's not working because they're doing construction because the mall doesn't exist anymore. So we got to take the stairs up. We kind of come back towards that back. Yes, Coach Dan.
Excuse me. Sorry. I apologize. I have a question. Why are they doing construction if there's no mall? What are they building?
I don't know. I know there's a fitness area they're building.
Ooh.
I saw that advertisement.
All right. Nice.
So we take the stairs up and we come out in the parking lot on top of the garage, but like the door furthest away from the big Capitol's window. And I look over and that line is already going down the ramp to level 7. And it is 8:30, 8:45.
I wouldn't have left yet.
So here's the thing. So they have the cup. The cup was potentially going to be set up under a tent in front of the Capitol's window. Why you wouldn't have that Capitol's window as your background, that's not for me to say. That's how I would have done it, though. But anyway, they had a zigzag barrier on level 8. I think they thought that was going to house enough people for this.
You had that workout for them.
But at 8:45... that line was already zigzagged and going down the ramp to level 7. So I'm like, all right, let's go in the store and let's see what they got. And then we'll go get in line. Because I wanted to hit up the equipment sale. I wanted to see the store. Because like I said, I do a lot of Christmas shopping. So anyway, so we go through the store. We get our stuff and it was kind of empty. And I'm like, all right, Mom, you go stand in line. I'm going to stand in line for the equipment sale. It is now about 9:15. She goes to stand in line. I go to the equipment sale. There's about 10 people in line for the equipment sale. She texts me and says, all right, I'm on level 6. I'm like, what are you doing on level 6? The line went from level 8 to level 6 by 9 o'clock. So at this point, I'm already like, all right, I'm probably not getting a picture till at least 12:30. Because if it doesn't open till 10, it's going to be a little while. That line wrapped around level 6 a couple times. Now, mind you, this is a garage where people park cars. So people were leaving as these people were standing in line in a parking lot where there are exhaust fumes and all other kinds of stuff that cars emote out there. So I go through the equipment sale, almost got a Jay Beagle stick, a used Jay Beagle stick, but then I realized it was $300. So I immediately put that back. I got a couple shorts, I got some pucks, whatever. So I go find my mom, my aunt was with me, and she's still on level 6. So the line has now been open for a good half hour of pictures with the Stanley Cup. So I start hearing from people around me, they're handing out green tickets. I'm like, I didn't get a green ticket. And they're like, yeah, you need a green ticket to get your picture. I'm like, I already, you know, my mom's been in this line since like 9 o'clock, 8:45, 9 o'clock. We never saw anybody with a green ticket. They told her to come down here. So, okay, whatever. So then a security guard comes down and goes, all right, if you're standing in line now, you are guaranteed a ticket or you're guaranteed a picture. All right, that's cool. All right, so, you know, it's hot. It's over 90 degrees, but whatever. We'll still get a picture. Cool. About another hour passes. We've inched a couple feet. And I'm like, all right, well, we're getting closer to level 7. At this point, I look over, and there's these two young staffers. Couldn't have been older than 20. And it's noon now. So I've been standing in line for an hour and a half. My mom's been there since 8:45, 9 o'clock. But it is noon now. The time I thought I would get the Stanley Cup picture and leave. I've already missed scrimmage. Didn't get to see any of the new talent now. And these two staffers go and go, we've cut the line. That's it. No one past this spot can stand in line. People start giving them crap, saying, I just did this, I did that, I have my kid, I have this, I have that, yada, 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 yada. And they're like, this is it. We're not even going to get through any of these people to get a picture with the Stanley Cup. Then I find out that the person that planned this event, supposedly, now don't sue me or anything like that, supposedly, allegedly, had figured there would be about 1,200 people at this event. And about 8,000 showed up. So how you plan an event with the Stanley Cup and the first championship that this team has won, that DC, that Baltimore has won in years, how you plan 1,200 people for a free photo, I don't understand. So we're still walking. We're still in this line. We get to level 7. Still, people are like, all right, you're guaranteed a picture. They cut the line. We're moving along. All right, so we get to the ramp that leads up to level 8, and there is no more shade. It is just the sun beating down on people. Yes, the Capitol said, bring umbrellas, bring suntan lotion, bring water. But I was not expecting to stay there past noon. So from like 9 o'clock until now 12:30, 1 o'clock, we're outside. So we've gone through the water and gone through everything else. We brought chairs, and we were slowly inching and inching and inching. Then they get us into the zigzag, and we're just standing there and standing there and standing there. This photographer that they hired was like letting people pose in their own special way with the cup, putting babies in the cup, you know, acting like picking this other guy up, holding him in air so it looks like he's hoisting the cup. You get to do all these funny little pictures. However, when you have 8,000 people in line, you don't take the time to let people pose and figure out what they want to do and you know, mess with their hair and everything. When we met the Lombardi Trophy with the Ravens, you literally stood next to it. The photographer said, all right, ready? Are you on the X? 1, 2, 3, snap. And you moved on. Because they knew that there was a lot of people behind them. The Capitals did not do that. They took it slowly and slowly and slowly, even though now we're approaching about 5.5 hours of standing in line and still with about 100 or 200 people in front of us. So there's even more talk about whatever, whatever. So 2 o'clock rolls around. That's when FanFest is supposed to end. The DJ goes, all right, guys, that's it for me. I got to move on. But the Stanley Cup is staying here till 4. So you guys hang out, and it'll be here till 4. They decided to keep it here till 4. And the DJ packs up. Well, when music goes away, people start realizing, man, it is really hot out here. So people started getting really angry because now they've been through their water. They've been through everything else. So they get some staff members, find some water, start putting them in ice buckets and handing them out to people. So we go through another hour. Now we're at like 3 o'clock and I'm maybe like 10 people away. And they, well, I shouldn't say that. I was about 30 people away. Then they decide we're going to change the rules up and we're going to do 10 to a picture. So now this photographer is allowing people to pose whichever way they want. They take that away, and now they're saying you cannot have your own personal photo with the cup. You need to do it with 10 of your very best friends that you just spent the last 7 hours with. So about three groups do it and get 10 people in a photo. Not what they wanted, but at least they got to kiss the Stanley Cup. And then they move on, and then there's this guy who says, I don't want a picture with anyone else. I want it just with me. And he stood there, and security told him not to take a picture. The photographer was like, just let me take the picture. The guy's like, no, you need to be in it with 10 other people. People next to him started screaming, I've waited this long for it. I don't want to do this. This is unfair. I want my own picture. So then the crowd starts turning on him, saying, because everybody else in line wants a picture too. But these people aren't playing by these new rules that were made up. 10 to a picture. So they quickly, after three groups of 10, threw that new rule out the window. Said, all right, never mind 10. Everybody can just do whatever they want. So then somebody has a service dog and takes a picture of the Stanley Cup with the service dog, and somebody in the crowd screams, nobody cares about your effing dog. Move on. So it is getting really nasty out there. So we get up, we take our picture, and after about 6.5 hours standing in line, 8:45 to about 3:45, my family and I got our picture with the Stanley Cup. Happy ending for me. However, the cup did leave promptly at 4 o'clock. And I understand. It's a free photo. It was promoted as a free photo. And they are saying if you did get a green ticket that you can put in your number and they will let you know where the Stanley Cup will be in the future. But how in the world do you not expect, after you had 500,000 people show up at your parade, that maybe 10,000 would show up at the event? Why wouldn't you hold this at Capital One Arena? Why would you do it at Kettler? I mean, Kettler without the Stanley Cup gets packed on FanFest. You add the Stanley Cup to that and it being free? And you expect 1,200 people? That's it? Come on. And to not have it set up, that was the biggest thing. This thing was so disorganized. Why would you have the Stanley Cup outside when you're an ice rink? Why wouldn't you put it on the extra rink you have? Where the other one, besides the one where scrimmage is, why wouldn't you put it on the ice? Why wouldn't you have the elderly and people with babies out in the heat for 7-8 hours waiting to get their picture with the cup? We're all very excited about the cup. Don't get me wrong. Everybody wants their picture with the cup, but whatever. I would have spent $20 to get my picture with the cup. That's fine. Great, you want to do it for free, but if you're not going to be prepared for crowds and crowds of people, then you can't do it for free. You can't do it outside on top of an 8-story garage in 90 plus degrees of heat. Who planned this event? And they have yet to issue an apology whatsoever. They thanked people for their patience. I didn't see a lot of patience. My mom, who is in her 50s, started throwing up in line. She started getting chills. I mean, that's two signs of heat stroke. The fact that no one passed out in line is a godsend, and thankfully that didn't happen. I love the Capitals. I still do. But I also got a picture with the Stanley Cup. If I'm one of the people that was behind me that waited 8 hours and didn't get a picture with the cup, I don't know if I could support the team anymore. If you can get past that, good on you. And you can still support the Caps. That is awesome. Because we all won the Stanley Cup. The team, the town, the fans, Ovechkin, Ted Leonsis, Kettler, everybody won the cup. Everybody wants to kiss that cup because Ovi raised that cup for the team and the fan base and the town and DC and Baltimore and a lot of different people and Moscow even. Everybody wants to kiss the cup and touch it. And for Kettler and the Capitals be so short-sighted and not see that that was going to happen. I never want to go to Kettler again. I told the lady when I left, because they have those pay stations when you leave. She yelled at me and said, "You're not supposed to come this way. This is cash only." Well, why don't you have a thing where I can just swipe? She's like, "Next time you're here." And I flat out said, "I'm not coming back." Because I'm not. I'm not going to Kettler again to be treated like that. I'm not asking, you know, for free water or free whatever. But man, come on. 8 hours in line. That's a lot to ask of a fan. And to not apologize after. Man. That's bold. That really is bold. But like I said, I got my picture with the cup. I'm very happy about that. I got to kiss the Stanley Cup. Not a lot of people get to say that. About 2,000 people behind me didn't. That sucks. But next time, I hope there's a fan fest. I hope it's at Capital One Arena. I hope it can house enough people. And I hope they have the foresight of knowing that the Caps have a lot of fans and a lot of people waited 44 years for that cup to come to town. So, of course, there's going to be big crowds. That just makes sense to me. That's my story for Saturday, Coach. I didn't get to see any of the new talent because I was outside standing in line. I'm sure everyone listening to that story feels like they just stood in line for 8 hours as I yammered on.
No, it's your story. There's other people's stories. Russian Machine has a part about it. It sounds like it was they've done really well. You know, they've been celebrating with the fans. They did really well. Up until that point, and then they just botched it.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I got my picture with it, so I should not be complaining. I shouldn't be, because I got what I came for.
I saw your picture on the website.
Yeah, it's a good picture.
You were in the first page.
Yeah, luckily, yeah. I didn't have to go through the 92 pages to find mine. But, like, I've been to events before. And, like, they had the Lombardi Trophy at M&T Bank Stadium. And it was you paid 20 or 30 bucks. You sat in a section in the stadium. And they said, "All right, rows 1 through 4, come through." And then you go through the locker room. And then they have the two Lombardi Trophies, like, already set up. And they say, "Stand on this X." You stand there. And the photographer goes, "All right, 1, 2, 3, click. All right, thank you very much." And you're out. 10 seconds, tops.
You ain't out. You got no time for nothing else.
And they didn't do that. I felt like it was an inexperienced photographer and it was an event planner that had never run an event before. I hope it's better next time. I will not be at FanFest if it's at Kettler next year, because I'm not dealing with that staff again.
I mean, I have to imagine it'll be at, you got to figure it's going to be at Kettler again. I mean, if they win the cup, hopefully I don't know. They could do it at Capital One, I would imagine, unless something else is going on there.
I'm sure Kettler does, or Capital One doesn't have an ice rink in June. Still,
we'll make one. Well, it wasn't that much longer or further, I should say, than the Cup win. So I feel like you could keep the ice or like set it back up so that you could have that kind of event.
Yeah. But hopefully, you know, Caps fans aren't too deterred from it. And I really do hope the Caps take care of those people that were in line. I know they took down, like, you had to have one of those green tickets and a number. You had to give them the number. But I hope it's not like, "Well, you could come to this event or this event or this event." I hope they're like, "Come here at this date at this time." But a lot of people couldn't. Like, a lot of people flew in to see the Stanley Cup. You know, it's not going to be just easy. "Hey, come to this season ticket holder thing where the Stanley Cup will be and you get to touch it."
No, I mean, it definitely sounds like they botched it.
Yeah. You know, I felt really responsible because my mom was getting really sick. And like if something would have happened and she would have passed out or something like that, I would have felt terrible.
Yeah, no, that would have been bad.
But anyway, on that note... Should we end the show on that much of a downer?
You know what? Caps won the cup.
That's
and
right.
Didn't make it easy for fans to see. But the Washington Cap. I mean, you can go back. I have a DVR. The Washington Capitals are your 2018 Stanley Cup champions.
And the cup actually came to Annapolis earlier this week. And it was the equipment manager. He actually had the cup on a boat, went under the Bay Bridge, and took it to Annapolis and said, hey, come out and see the Stanley Cup. It's on the city dock. I'll be there for 45 minutes. And again, thousands of fans started lining up at like 6 a.m. to see and touch the cup. So, I mean, these fans are rabid. They want to see the cup.
We want the cup to take a picture.
That's another thing. They wouldn't let you, like, after the groups of 10 got done, they wouldn't let you stand off to the side and just take, like, a selfie or whatever. Even though you were nowhere, like, in the picture or whatever. It was just, I think everybody by 3 o'clock was really tired and hot and bothered. And just, even security and the poor interns just wanted to go home.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. When do we get the cup? We get a day, right? Because we're Caps podcasters.
I don't think so.
Darn it. That would have been cool.
It's good. It's a good try, though.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. If you were at FanFest and didn't get a picture with the cup, let us know. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of not as much right now. This is a part of the year where, you know, my work gets a bit crazy. It's not as much to talk about. Occasionally you can find me talking about Caps things. Arsenal, they're making moves. Looks like we're not getting Benenga, but making some moves for the offseason. I think the season starts in a month, just over a month, I feel like, is the first game, so that's pretty exciting. Or it's the end of the transfer window. I can't remember. I'm talking other things going on in the world of European football. DC United just got Wayne Rooney, which is pretty cool. Tickets to the first game are expensive. So I won't be going to that, unfortunately, but I am excited to get to a game hopefully this summer out at Audi Field.
You going to go to the All-Star game? It's at Nats Field this year, right?
At Nats Park? No. Because I don't really care. It's an All-Star game. It's like not a big deal to me. But no, that's, I mean, it's cool that's there. Yay. But, you know, Nats are not doing so well. They're at 500 as of this recording. And the Orioles are a complete joke.
Yeah, complete and total joke. Pretty terrible.
They're pretty suck.
They are going to be sucked this year.
They are. They are definitely going to be suck. But that's on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you like this show, if you like our rambling and another long podcast that you got to listen to, go ahead and check us out at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Learn about old shows when we're having new shows and all other kinds of show and Capitals related things over there on the Facebooks at facebook.com/, while Facebook is still up and running until sounds like the government comes after it. facebook.com/whatthepuck. I saw Brandon, a little head shake. What the Puck Pod. But Brandon,
yeah,
while we're still here, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Why are we mad at Facebook now? I mean, I know
I'm not mad at Facebook. I think the government's mad at Facebook.
What did they do? What have I missed?
Hired someone with an accent would be my guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and all the other podcasts we do here. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod, and check us out over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. After this show, it's going to be pretty sporadic. It's whenever news kind of breaks. This is the quiet time for the Capitals, and I'm sure there's going to be some days with the cups that are going to be pretty memorable for players. I kind of want to see what Ovechkin does in Moscow with the cup.
He's going to break it.
We'll see what happens. But anyway, so go to Facebook and like us over there, and you know, we'll come back and do a show hopefully before training camp, kind of get you ready in case something big happens. So we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is if you please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So while we are off for the next couple weeks until training camp starts, Coach Dan and I are going to think of some different ways to kind of interact with you guys when the new season begins. So we look forward to that. And again, stay tuned to our Facebook page, and hopefully we'll have some new treats for you guys when the new season rolls around. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.